This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A break in the rally.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as we start the trading day. Home prices a little better, fighting foreclosures in Washington, and getting away from it all. All that ahead, but first, where's Wall Street? Markets are mixed right now. The S&P 500 down about 0.2%. The Dow pretty much flat, and the Nasdaq up just by a hair. European markets are mainly lower right now, and Asia shares are mixed. And Julie Neiman is an analyst over at Smith Moore & Company. She's joining us from St. Louis live. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
We're hearing today from the Wall Street Journal that Bank of America is looking at closing some branches across the country. Now, the Journal report says about 10%. That would equate to, gosh, I don't know, 600, 700 branches across the country. Bank of America responded just a little while ago saying, no, not that many. So either way, what kind of impact are we talking about?
Well, Bank of America was going to be the banker to the world. In fact, they were going with a community corner bank, taking on community bank competition. It's not working. Bottom line is consumers are going toward online and drive-through banking, making it pretty quickly here. Their biggest expansions have been in California, Florida, Midwest, Northeast. Now they've got huge competition from Wells Fargo, Wachovia. That's the biggest number there. They've got so much heartburn with Country Slide and Merrill Lynch here that they've got to retrench and redistribute what their assets are going to. And now they've got sinking commercial real estate markets as well, and they're still struggling with a lot of bad loans and businesses and consumers here. So they have to retrench at this point, slash those costs, and yes, you're going to see a big rise in unemployment in those areas.
Let's talk about the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index that came out this morning. Value, house value stabilizing. There was a monthly increase May over April. I mean, what do we make of this?
Semi-giddy here. You know, we're up almost a half percent in terms of pricing, but it's still sliding, not plunging. That's the key thing here. We still have 2 million houses in inventory. June, July, and August are the biggest months for home sales because you move before you go back to school. Relocations. There's some big first-time buyer cash incentives at the lower end of the housing market. That's what's ticking up here. We still haven't seen or heard the splat at the bottom of the market, but it could be coming.
All right. Julie Neiman, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it.
You bet.
That small uptick in home prices probably not much help to the millions of homeowners whose houses are underwater, or worse, those who face foreclosure. The Obama administration does have a program that's supposed to be helping people in their homes by modifying mortgage loans to reduce the monthly payment, but it's barely gotten off the ground, and 25 big mortgage servicers will be in Washington today to explain why. We hear from Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, who joins us live to discuss this right now. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So how's the program supposed to work?
Well, basically, you go to your mortgage servicer. That's who you pay the mortgage bill to. And you file a lot of documentation, and you ask for a lower monthly payment. That could be reducing the principal that you owe on the house or getting a lower interest rate.
So quickly, Mitchell, why are mortgage servicers in Washington today?
Well, they're there to answer questions about why this has been so slow to get going and how to help more troubled homeowners. This was passed 5 months ago, but some of the biggest servicers, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, just started processing modifications pretty recently. Housing advocates say that some servicers are charging inappropriate upfront fees. They may be telling borrowers that they have to default first before they can get a modification. The Government Accountability Office says Treasury doesn't have the systems in place to oversee this program. Today, Treasury is going to be putting the squeeze on the mortgage servicers, pressuring them to add more staff and training and to give borrowers who don't get relief a way to appeal or at least complain a bit about the way they've been treated.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
Thank you.
Listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, July 28th, 2009, at marketplace.org. The U.S. Treasury might just as well be shouting avalanche this week. It has to sell more than $200 billion in debt. That's a new record. It needs the money to pay for stimulus spending and the bank bailout and the bailouts of GM and Chrysler. But who's buying? Jill Barchet reports.
The market in U.S. government debt usually looks as smooth as a pond on a still day. But these big bond sales are making some big waves. Lou Crandall is the chief economist at Wrights and ICAP. He says the splashes are attracting the hedge fund crowd.
The market's a little less efficient and a little more erratic than it normally is, and that creates trading opportunities. So we're seeing different kinds of speculative investors looking at the Treasury market because it's not as stayed as it is during more normal times.
Crandall says these investors like the relatively high yields on some of this debt and the chance to take advantage of sharp price swings. The biggest buyers remain foreign governments. Crandall expects the Chinese to keep snapping up treasuries, and he's seeing more interest from Russia, Hong Kong, and India. He says throw in strong demand from sovereign wealth funds, and there's still plenty of interest in American debt. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Say on pay may soon be a reality. The long-talked-about idea to require companies to allow shareholders to vote on executive compensation is making its way through Congress. The House Financial Services Committee is taking up the bill today, and there could be a vote by week's end. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The bill would force companies to give shareholders a vote on executive pay. Democratic Congressman Barney Frank says it's needed because allowing boards of directors to decide how much bosses make doesn't work.
The notion that it will be done by the board of directors, I think, is fruitless because boards of directors and CEOs are inevitably the closest of collaborators.
Any shareholder vote would be non-binding, which means boards could ignore it. Charles Elson directs the Center on Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. He says giving shareholders a say on pay could undermine the board's power and end up making management even less accountable.
Board is there to set pay. If you don't like what the board is doing, replace the board. If you take away their authority to effectively set pay, what about say on strategic planning or say on all kinds of other things, which dilutes the centralized authority of the board?
Elson says the problem of excessive compensation could be solved by allowing shareholders to nominate people to the boards, a practice that doesn't happen often. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Spa treatments and beauty supplies are often considered a woman's domain. In India, however, more and more men are indulging in products and services to make themselves look and feel better as advertising for the estimated $20 billion a year grooming industry increasingly focuses on males. From New Delhi, Raymond Thibodeau reports.
Fair and handsome. Sadharana fairness cream magabari getti
chalo. In this TV ad, a 20-something Indian guy is out on the town but finds himself rejected by several women, all with lighter skin than his. To his rescue comes Bollywood's biggest star, Shah Rukh Khan, with a bottle of Fair and Handsome skin lightening cream. The young man applies the cream and ta-da! 4 weeks later, he's a few shades lighter, smiling and confident, and now the women are very interested.
In India and in much of South Asia, people here want to look more fair because fairness is linked to status and prosperity, definitely.
Meenal Patel is an analyst for the Indian Council for Market Research.
Such ads basically portray that you'll get the girl, you'll get the car, you'll get the money, you get the proper lifestyle or because the skin is lighter.
Patel says the launch of Fair and Handsome Skin Lightening Cream 3 years ago started a boom for male grooming products. Ernst & Young research showed that so-called manscaping products were among India's fastest-growing consumer sectors, averaging about 20% annual growth. Sales of skin lighteners for men have leapt 150% in the small cities and rural areas. Che Kurian is editor of GQ India magazine, which launched last year.
A certain number of Indian men have always pampered themselves. Add to that a growing number of Indian men who've always wanted to splurge on themselves but couldn't afford to. Now they can.
Foreign beauty suppliers are cashing in. European giants Nivea, L'Oreal, and Garnier are jumping into the market. Procter & Gamble has announced plans to expand its Indian presence. And many luxury hotel chains in India now offer spas and salons for men, with pedicures, body waxing, and a manly-sounding rock facial. Could be a hard sell. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Chicago Cubs won last night in extra innings when Alfonso Soriano, bottom of the 13th, hit a grand slam home run. They beat the Astros 5-1. Today at the ballpark, grand treatment. The team's owner, the bankrupt Tribune Company, will be giving some key financial players the old VIP at today's game at Wrigley Field against Houston, a way to woo a prospective buyer whose financing isn't quite arranged. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon.
Normally, a baseball team looks to its fans for support through hard times. But today, the leading bidder to buy the Cubs hopes to score with a different crowd. Tom Ricketts is looking to borrow nearly half his reported $900 million bid for the team. And the deal's Wall Street underwriters, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America, reportedly plan to ply prospective lenders at the ballpark, probably with more than peanuts and Cracker Jack. For months, this kind of loan-making was called off on account of stormy economic weather, and those skies remain cloudy. But there's been a modest rally in lending. Steve Miller watches the leveraged loan outlook for Standard & Poor's.
For a while, that market went away, certainly at the end of last year, the first 4 or 5 months of this year. But because of this rally, some money's flowed back into the market, and as a consequence, you're able to get deals done.
Miller says he has his doubts whether the rally will last, though, a concern that may be on the mind of the would-be Cubs owner. Ricketts made his fortune in the business of corporate lending. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
National Park Service reports visitation to Yellowstone is up 12% this year. There are similar increases at other parks across the country, too. The national campground chain KOA says first-time campers on their grounds are at the highest number in nearly two decades. Seems people really want to get away from it all. So more of them are visiting Mom, as in Mother Nature. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Corey Karubin says it wasn't too hard for her friends to coax her into her first camping trip.
They were telling me about it, and they said, really? We're going to have a pool where we camp?
There's also Wi-Fi in this wilderness, and a general store, and an ice cream social every Saturday. Welcome to the Recessionista Campground, a KOA spot about 40 miles from Los Angeles. Manager Rose Jones says people may not have the money to stay in a hotel suite, but they don't want to leave behind the kitchen sink. And by that, I actually mean the kitchen sink. This KOA brings in portable stations with basins and faucets.
Because when they're here for the whole weekend or several days, they don't want to leave sticky dishes.
Jones says sites have been in such demand, she's had to add a new wing to the campground. She says campers are also starting to bring the good life with them, like a propane camp oven.
So they can have their morning muffins.
Goodies like that are driving business at outfitters like REI, where family tent sales are up 17%. Rick Mead is a camping product manager there.
What we do see is definitely these sales around really luxury products. Sales in these 3.5-inch thick self-inflating pads are off the charts. So it's kind of like comfort food for camping, if you will.
Now, a luxury item for a camper, a propane oven, for example, costs a couple $100s. Compare that to a night at the Bellagio. That can run you into the thousands. Still, Mead says tents are getting more and more like Vegas hotels, with multiple rooms and screened-in dining areas. Corey Karubin bought her tent the day before her trip.
I'm glad we got this tent because we saw one that's smaller, and I'm saying, you know, you'll need room for all of your stuff, so this is a good size for two people.
The tent is neatly packed with chairs, a comforter, even an air mattress. The only problem? There's no electricity to blow up that mattress. Ah, the great outdoors. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Hey, take a trip to our website. Check out the great indoors and our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow. He's got your thoughts there, and you can share them with him as well at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.